بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran, والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the Asr time that verily all of the mankind is in a state of loss, with the exception of those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who do righteous deeds according to al-Islam, and those who encourage one another towards the haq and on the haq, and who encourage one another to be patient. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith that has been narrated by al-Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, "Ad-deenun nasiha." He said the religion is giving good advice, and he said it three times. He said, "Ad-deenun nasiha lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa li a'immati al-muslimin wa ammatihim." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the religion is giving good advice to Allah, meaning to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that He has ordered us to believe in Him, to establish those characteristics and those names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established for Himself, and to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far away from the things that He has said that He is far away from, like oppression, like having partners, like having sons, having daughters, having anyone else sharing with Him in His dominion. And to give nasiha to Allah's book, the Quran, means to believe in it, to read it as it was revealed, to stay away from its prohibitions, and to act upon the orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put therein. To believe that it is the actual words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He spoke, the book that was revealed in the blessed month of Ramadan, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came as a furqan, or criterion between what is right and what is wrong, a book that has come to support what has gone before it from the other the divinely inspired books like the Torah and the Injil and the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa and the Zabur of Dawood. Giving good advice to Allah's book is teaching it and acting upon what it has ordered us to do. As for giving advice to the Messenger of Allah, so the meaning of this particular part of the hadith has a twofold meaning. The first meaning that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living amongst the Muslims, they were ordered to give advice to him in the affairs of the dunya when he sought their advice. An example of that is what happened at the Battle of Badr, when some of the mushrikeen from the Quraysh fell in the hands of the Muslims and they became part of the spoils of war. Because Badr was the first war that the Muslims fought, there was no legislation as to what should be done with the people, the captives of the war. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded to ask his beloved companion, his friend, the father of his most beloved wife, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who the people of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah see as being the best of the human beings after the Prophet, who the people of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah see as the best of this community, the community of Muslims after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What should we do with these people, Abu Bakr?" Abu Bakr said, "O Messenger of Allah, verily from these people are our fathers and our brothers and our uncles and our cousins and our former neighbors back in Mecca. Shall we not ransom them so as to alleviate from ourselves the poverty that we're facing in Medina, as well as to do good to our kin?" in the hopes that maybe they will accept the Islam. And then the Prophet ﷺ proceeded to ask Umar al-Khattab al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar, who the people of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah see as being the second best person after all of the Prophets and after Abu Bakr, and who is the second best person from our community, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet ﷺ proceeded to ask Umar, oh Umar, what is your opinion as to what we should do with these people? Umar said, O Messenger of Allah, verily they try to distinguish or to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths, and they prevented the message of Islam from spreading, and they threw us out of Mecca, and they gave us hardships in our lives. Verily there is no good in them. Let us build a hole and let us burn them inside of the hole. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam weighed the two opinions of his two beloved and blessed companions, he chose the opinion of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Quran that it would not be fitting for the believers, for the messenger and the believers, to take these people as captives and so forth and so on. So that's the first aspect of the meaning of giving good advice to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the second aspect of this meaning, it is how this hadith is applicable to us today. How do we give good advice to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when in fact we came into Islam and we found that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died? The meaning of this hadith, or this aspect of the hadith, as the ulama say, is that we should love him as we love, more than we love our children, and more than we love our fathers and all of the people. That we should love his sunnah, that we should follow his example, that we should support and venerate him, that we should send salutations upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should practice his sunnah, that we should teach and call to his sunnah, that we should defend his sunnah, that we should hold him in high esteem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say unto them, O Muhammad, if it is Allah that you love, then follow me. Then Allah will love you as a result of that, and Allah will forgive you for your sins. So this is how we as Muslims give good advice to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death. As for giving good advice to the Muslim leaders, then this part of the ayah of the hadith is clear. But the imam of the Muslim, as this hadith says, is a general term. It can mean the imams who have been placed in authority over the affairs of the Muslim and the Muslim state. Those people who are in his cabinet or his ministers are advised to give him good advice. And it also is applicable to the Muslims, the imams of the Muslims in the masjid. We should be in a position where we give them good advice for the betterment of themselves as well as the betterment of the community. As far as the last part of this hadith is what is applicable to us, and the reason why the tape is being made is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us to give good advice to the general Muslim folk. We have in another authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ سِتْتُمْ قَالُوا مَا هُمَّ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith that has been also narrated by Imam Muslim, he said the rights that a Muslim have over another Muslim is six. So the people said, what are these rights, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا لَقِيَهُ سَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِذَا دَعَاهُ أَجَابُهُ وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَهُ نَصَحَهُ وَإِذَا عَطَسَ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ يُشَمِّتُهُ وَإِذَا مَرِضَ عَادَهُ وَإِذَا مَاتَ صَحِبَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, these six rights are, if he meets his fellow Muslim brother, he gives him salam. And if the brother invites him to partake in the meal or to his house, he accepts the invitation. The third one, the Prophet ﷺ said, if he asks him to give him advice, he advises him sincerely. And then the fourth one, the Prophet ﷺ said, if he sneezes and then he says Alhamdulillah, the Muslim upon hearing this should say to him, Yarhamakullah. And the fifth thing is, the Prophet ﷺ said, if he becomes sick, he should visit him. And the final thing is that the Prophet ﷺ said, and if he dies, he should follow his janazah. So as you see, the Prophet ﷺ told us that one of the rights that the Muslim has upon his brother Muslim is that if he asks him for advice, he should give him clear, good, and sincere advice. So being that one of the brothers who came to Al-Madinah in this blessed month of Ramadan has presented us with a suggestion, and that is that we put together a series of tapes on the importance of the family in Al-Islam. We accept it because calling to Al-Islam is one of the highest forms of ibadah or worship. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ قَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better than one? Who is better than the one who calls to Al-Islam and then he works righteous deeds and then he says, verily I'm from the Muslims. So these tapes, inshallah, will be sent in the form and the intended reason behind it. These tapes are just to give the Muslims nasiha, and I think the noble suggestion of the brother should not go unnoticed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him with good and may he accept it from us and from you. This first tape, inshallah, will deal with how the Muslim woman can become a better wife. The things that the Muslim woman can do, or the things that she shouldn't do according to the Quran and the Sunnah and the sayings of the righteous predecessors of this community, meaning the Sahabas and the Tabi'een and the people who came after the Tabi'een. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come, and there is not a stone that has not been turned over. We find that Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in the authentic effort, there was not a bird that flew in the sky, there was not a bird that flapped his wing in the sky, except that the Prophet ﷺ narrated to us some wisdom from it. So we have the Prophet ﷺ coming to us and addressing every issue and every aspect in the lives of a human being. He has taught us how to relieve ourselves. He has taught us what to do and what to say when we want to come to our family. The most personal aspects of an individual's life, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us all of these affairs. One time there was a Jew who tried to be sarcastic with one of the Muslims, and he said, oh, verily your Messenger has taught you everything. He has taught you even how to go to the bathroom. And the Muslim, upon hearing that, felt the honor that Al-Islam had given him. He said, that's right. He's taught us that when we go to the bathroom, we should not hold our private parts with our right hand, nor should we clean ourselves with our right hand, nor should we stand up while urinating, nor should we face the Qibla. This is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these affairs are of the smaller, more minute affairs, inshallah ta'ala. So it's only befitting that Al-Islam has addressed the issue of the woman, the issue of the man, the issue of their responsibilities one to another, to the community, to the society, to their children. When we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on his farewell pilgrimage, was commonly known as Hajjatul Wada'a, we see that the Prophet ﷺ took the time out to address some very important issues, because he knew that this was a possibility that it may be the last meeting between him and the Muslim community as a whole. So for those of us who read what was said on that day and the treasures of those statements, he will have no choice except to come to the conclusion that the things that the Prophet ﷺ touched upon on that day were very, very important. We also find that the Prophet ﷺ, after coming from the Hajj, he became ill in the sickness that eventually he died from. Likewise, when he lost consciousness and he would come through, each time that he came through or regained his consciousness, he would tell the Muslims or admonish the Muslims of some very important issues. Once he came through, he said to the Muslims, I warn you to be careful of the slaves that you have. Be good to the slaves. Why? Because it's an important issue. Another example is that he came through and he said to the people, "Verily, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. Whenever one of the righteous people died from amongst them, their prophets, they used to build over him masjids and put pictures and statues in the masjids. Do not do that to me. Do not do that with my masjid." Another time he came through and he saw one of the Muslims, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, using a miswak. And he beckoned to her to give him the miswak at the time that he was dying. We find in the farewell pilgrimage the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing the issue of riba or usury. He took the time out to warn the Muslims to stay away from this usury, for verily it is a tremendous sin and crime in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, the Prophet also addressed the issue of racism, where he told the Muslims, the Arab has no superiority over the non-Arab, nor does the non-Arab have any superiority over the Arab. The white person has no superiority over the black person, nor does a black person have any superiority over a white person. He said, all of you are from Adam, and Adam is from the dirt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before completing the farewell pilgrimage, told the people, hold on to my sunnah, hold on to the Quran. Verily, if you hold on to them, you will never go astray after me. He told them about the pillars of Al-Islam, to believe in Allah and to worship Allah, to establish the salah, to pay the zakat, to fast in the month of Ramadan, and to make the hajj and the pilgrimage. We also find the Prophet ﷺ addressed the issue of the rights that the men had over the women and the women had over the men, because of the significance and importance of that particular issue. So with that being the case, Ikhwani, brothers, sisters, we would like to draw upon some of the ayat from the Quran, as well as some of the hadith from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as to help and to encourage one another. That which is righteous. So inshallah, we'll systematically note some of the things that the Quran and the Sunnah calling the Muslim woman, the righteous Muslim woman, to do or to leave alone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the authentic hadith, when he describes to us who this righteous wife is and who this righteous woman is, and the significance and importance of her in the Islamic society. Because we know that the mother plays a very important role in the success of the Islamic community as well as the family. There is no success for the family if the mother is not playing that role, is not doing her job and living up to her responsibility. There is no success to that family. The Prophet ﷺ has informed us. He said, "Ad-dunya mata'a, wa khayru mata'i ad-dunya al-mar'atu salihah." He said, verily, the dunya is provision, and the best provisions of the dunya is a righteous woman. This hadith is authentic. It's been narrated by Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the dunya, all it is a bunch of provisions, and the best provision that a person can have in it is to have a righteous wife, we know that this is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُوا عَنَ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْهُ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. And he does not articulate from his own self. He does not speak from his own desire. But verily, it is revelation that has been revealed to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in another authentic hadith, that is Muttafaq alayhi. And the meaning of Muttafaq alayhi is that it's the hadith that has been narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari as well as Al-Imam Muslim rahimahumullah ta'ala. So whenever a Muslim hears that a hadith has been narrated by these two great Imams who stood up for the Sunnah and who protected the Sunnah and recorded it for us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them with good. Whenever he hears that a hadith has been narrated or collected by these two Imams, he has no doubt as to its authenticity. For verily, this is the highest level of a hadith in Al-Islam. So in this hadith that both of these imams collected, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاغْفِرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرْبَتْ يَدَاكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, a woman is married for four reasons. The Prophet is not ordering us to marry a woman for four reasons, but he's explaining. And he's shedding light on the fact that men marry women for four reasons. He said, first, the first reason that they marry for is for her money. The second reason is because of her lineage. The third reason is because of her beauty. And the last and final reason is because of her religion. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered us. He said, marry the one who has the religion and you will be successful. Marry the one who has the religion and you will be successful. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us in another authentic hadith that has been narrated by Imam Al-Hakim in his famous book Al-Mustadrak. He said, أَرْبَعٌ مِّنَ السَّعَادَةِ الْمَرْأَةُ صَالِحَةِ وَالْمَسْكَنُ الْوَاسِعِ وَالْجَارُ الصَّالِحِ والمركب المهنيه. The Prophet ﷺ said, there are four things that are considered given, four things that give men happiness, four things that makes a person happy. He said the first thing is a righteous wife, a righteous woman. The second thing is a spacious home, a spacious abode. The third thing is a righteous neighbor. And the fourth thing is a car or a riding animal, a riding beast that is good, that is efficient. And he said four other things are not from happiness. They make a person sad. And he just said the opposite. A bad woman. A house that is restricted and small. A bad neighbor. And a riding beast or a riding animal that gives you a lot of problems. And there are many hadiths and many examples in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the righteous women, like the wife of Fir'aun, Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, righteous women who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. He's given us their stories so as the woman should emulate her life after these people, as well as the man should desire to marry someone of this stature and this nature. So not to go into all of those hadith, we would like to begin by systematically pointing out to some things that a woman should do or she shouldn't do in order to be a good Muslim woman, a good Muslim wife, a successful Muslim wife, the woman who will make her house a Jannah or a paradise for her husband, her children, for herself, inshallah. And more importantly than that, she will get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first nasiha that we give to our sisters in Islam who want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who want to be successful in their roles as mothers and wives is that she should obey her husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, the men are the maintainers and the protectors of women because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored them with over them and because they spend out of their sustenance. So Al-Islam has given the Qawwam, or the man, the upper hand over the woman in their relationship. But that doesn't mean that he's any better than her in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, they are equal. As Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ مِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Verily, the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is he who is most dutiful to Allah. He who has the taqwa. He is most God conscious. Prophet came and he explained to us in an authentic hadith. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرْ إِلَى صُورِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَنْسَابِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَمْوَالِكُمْ ولكن الله ينظر إلى أعمالكم وإلى قلوبكم. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily Allah does not look at your shape, your form, your colors, nor does He look at your lineage, nor does He look at your money. These things have no bearing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not the things that set the criterion as to who Allah loves and who Allah doesn't love. All of those things were given to that individual by Allah's will. Allah's Prophet ﷺ said, but verily Allah looks at your deeds, and He looks at your heart, the niyat that you have, the intentions that you form. So we understand from this hadith that a woman has no superiority over a man, nor does a man have any superiority over a woman. It's strictly he who keeps his duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah, the Most High, Al-Hakim, who has created these human beings, who knows them better than they know themselves, He's put the man in a position of authority over the woman. And He's ordered her to obey this man. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that is authentic, it's been narrated by Imam Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And this hadith is tremendous in its meaning. And I recite this hadith to you in the blessed month of Ramadan, the month in which we are fasting, in the hopes that upon hearing it, our sisters would try to implement these orders. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَصَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا قِيلَ لَهَا أُدْخِلْ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شِئْتِ. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, if a woman, a Muslim woman, prays her five salats on time, according to the sunnah, and if she fasts the month of Ramadan, and if she protects her private parts, she doesn't make zina, she's not a lewd woman, and if she obeys her husband, this is the point here, and if she obeys her husband, it will be said to her, Yawm al-Qiyamah, enter into any door, the doors of Jannah that you choose. And we know that the doors of Jannah are many. We have the door called Ar-Rayyan, the door that only the people who are fasting will go through. There are many doors. If she does these things, she prays her salat, establishes the salat in her life, in her home, prays them according to the sunnah, she takes the time out to learn how the Prophet ﷺ prayed, and she implements that, and she fasts the month of Ramadan, and makes up her days that she missed in the month of Ramadan because she was menstruating or because she had a baby, she makes up those days as well, and she protects her private parts. She doesn't make zina with other than her husband. A'udhu billah. And she obeys her husband, this will be said to her. This will be her reward. And there's another hadith that has been narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i, and it's authentic. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, قِيلَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم أَيُّ النِّسَاءِ خَيْرٌ قَالَ الَّتِي تَسُرُّهُ إِذَا نَظَرَ وَتُطِيعُهُ إِذَا أَمَرَ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he was asked, who is the best woman? Who is the best wife, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when asked this question, he said to the questioner, the best woman is the one that when her husband looks at her, she pleases him. It's pleasing to look at her. And he said, and if he orders her to do something, she obeys him. In another hadith that has been narrated by Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and it has been rated as being authentic by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani, Habibullah Ta'ala, in his famous book, Adab al-Zawaj, the ways of getting married, the protocols of getting married. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said to a woman, أَذَاتِ زَوْجْ أَنْتِ؟ قَالَتْ نَعَمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said to this woman, are you married? The woman said, yes. Then the Prophet ﷺ proceeded to ask her, كَيْفَ أَنْتِ لَهُ? How are you with your husband? The woman said to him, مَا آلُوهُ إِلَّا مَا عَجَزْتُ أَنْ. Her response to this question, how are you with your husband? How are you to your husband? This woman said, I do everything for my husband except those things that I'm not capable of doing. Those things that I'm humanly prevented from doing. It's humanly impossible for me to do those particular things. Other than that, I do everything for him. The Prophet ﷺ, after hearing this, said to this woman, فَنْظُرِي أَيْنَ أَنْتِ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ جَنَّتُكَ وَنَارُكِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ جَنَّتُكِ وَنَارُكِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, look and beware. Look and pay attention to how you are with your husband. For verily, he is your paradise or he is your hellfire. So the Muslim woman should not have any type of grievance with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered her to obey her husband. And he'll be held responsible for his right, for whether or not how he lived up to his responsibility. But what she should do is she should worry about herself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يُضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلُّوا إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Oh, you believe, you are responsible for your own self. It does not hurt you, those who go astray, if you're guided aright. So listen to the words of your messenger sister, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily, he is your paradise, or he is your hellfire. The second nasiha that we give to our sisters in Islam who want to be successful wives and good wives to their husbands is that the woman should serve her husband. She should cook his food. She should clean his clothes. She should serve him in his home. For verily, this makes the man happy. And we find during the times of the Sahaba that the women, the wives of the Sahabas, took care of their husbands. Like the famous story that Al-Imam Muslim narrated, the story about Az-Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his wife, Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. Asma used to take care of the property of Zubayr. He used to take care of his cooking and so forth and so on. It's a famous story. A story that is used as delil for the people who say that it's the responsibility of the woman to take care and to serve her husband in her home. Because we have some people from amongst the Muslims who are of the opinion that if a woman takes care of the home and she does the chores that a woman normally does, even in the kufr society, they feel if she does this, this is just some extra thing that she's doing and it's not compulsory upon her, because Allah didn't order her to do so. The Sunnah hasn't ordered her to do so. This is a grave misunderstanding. The woman should take care of her husband. She should serve her husband. The Prophet ﷺ has told us in an authentic hadith that has been narrated by Al-Imam Al-Tabarani, and it's authentic. It's in Sahih Al-Jami'. Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani has ruled that the hadith is authentic, as well as Al-Imam Al-Tabarani, rahimahumullah ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, لَوْ تَعْلَمُ الْمَرْأَةُ حَقَّ الزَّوْجِ لَمْ تَقْعُدْ مَا حَضَرَ غَدَاؤُهُ وَعَشَاؤُهُ حَتَّى يَفْرُغُ مِنْهُ. Prophet ﷺ said, if a woman only knew the rights that her wife, that her husband has over her, she would never sit down when his lunch is brought to him and his dinner is brought to him. When she brings these things to him, she will not sit down until he's finished eating, if she only knew the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him over her. And verily, by a woman serving her husband, cooking his food, these are things that makes him happy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, من أفضل الأعمال إدخال السرور على المؤمن تقضي له بينه أو تقضي له حاجة أو تنفذ عنه قربته. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the best deeds, from the best deeds that a person can do, is making a believer happy. By making a believer happy, paying a debt for him, or helping him to solve a problem, or alleviating a problem from him in his life. And we know in al-Islam, al-ibadah or worship is all encompassing. Whenever the Muslim woman cooks for her husband, and she cooks for her children, she cleans his clothes and she cleans his house, this is considered ibadah if her niyyah was to give him his haq, his right, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't wait for Yawm al-Jum'ah only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is an opportunity, sister, to get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at it like that, and don't look at it as being a chore and a burden. The third nasiha that we give to our sisters is that she shouldn't leave the house of her husband except with his permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقُرْن فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ and stay in your houses. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرَّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةُ الْأُولَى and do not make a display like the former times of ignorance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the authentic hadith, إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ فَاسْتَشْرَفَهَا الشَّيْطَانِ if a woman leaves her house, shaitan beautifies her. So it's from the rights of the husband and his wife that if she goes out, she should seek his permission in doing so. In normal circumstances, the famous Imam and commentator of the Quran, Ibn Kathir, when he made the explanation of this ayah and staying in your houses, he said the meaning of it is that the women should remain in their houses and they should never go out except in times of necessity. This is what Ibn Kathir understood according to what he gathered from the Athar and the Hadith of the Sahaba. So if a woman doesn't have a necessity that causes her to go out of her home, she should remain in her home. And we remind you of the story, the famous story and statement of Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima, as you all know, is a woman that any Muslim woman who's in her right mind would like to be in her place, would like to be like her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her tremendously. And our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said there was no one who resembled Rasulullah in his speech and in his manner and in his walk like Fatima, his daughter. Fatima, who the Prophet ﷺ said about her, when Ali wanted to get married to another woman, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهَا بِدْعٌ مِنِّي مَا يُدُرُّهَا يُدُرُّنِي verily she is a part of me, verily she is a piece of me, what harms her harms me. This woman who was raised in the house of prophecy, who was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who married Ali, the first young man who came into the fold of Islam. At one time Ali represented a third of Islam, because the Prophet was the first Muslim, then Khadija, then Ali. He represented a third of Islam at one point in the history of Islam, the fourth Khalifa. Ali said to his wife Fatima, oh Fatima, what is the most beloved thing to a woman, to a Muslim woman? What was the answer given by this woman who was raised in the house of prophecy, who saw her father day in and day out, who knew him better than anyone else? She said the most beloved thing to a Muslim woman, to a believing woman, is not to see strange men and not to be seen by strange men. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. So the Muslim woman should remain in her house as Allah has ordered her in the Quran, and stay in your home, and do not make the display of the former times of Jahiliyyah, when the women used to go out with bangles on their feet, on their ankles, and on their necks and their wrists, try to draw and to attract the attention of the kuffar, of the men. We look at our women Yawm al-Jum'ah, and it's a fashion show. We have to ask you, sister, who are you dressing for? Who are you beautifying yourself for? The colors that you're wearing in your clothes, the styles that you're wearing in your clothes. You're not wearing bangles on your ankles, but the colors and the type of clothing that you're wearing is serving the same purpose, causing people to look at you, causing you to be a fitna for people. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth nasiha to my sisters is that the woman should not prevent her husband from having sexual relationships with her. It's not her right. Whenever he calls her, she should have to prepare herself for him. Especially in these times of fitna, where a man may see another woman in the street. And the Prophet ordered the men, if you see a woman in the street who pleases you, then let one of you come to his wife. So at this time when he has to get this pressure off of his back, he may come to the sister. And because of the societies that we're in, we know that these people teach the woman to use her private parts as a weapon to control the man. They put it on the TV, they put it in the music, they put it in their literature. It's a weapon by which she controls the man. If you do right, you'll get this stuff. A'udhu Billah. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that has been narrated by Imam Muslim. He said, إِذَا دَعَ الرَّجُلُ امْرَأَتَهُ إِلَى فِرَاشِهِ فَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ فَبَاتَ غَبَّانًا عَلَيْهَا لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ. The Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, if a man calls his wife to the bed with him, to come to the bed, to have a relationship with him, and she refuses, and as a result he goes to sleep and he's angry with her, the angels curse her until she wakes up. Many of the sisters know this hadith, but in spite of that, they still refuse to come to their husbands when they call. Know for surety, sister, this is from the major sins. And how do we know it's from a major sin? Whenever we find a hadith or an ayah warning us that you're going to have the curse of Allah upon you, or the curse of the angels, or a curse of the people upon you, or Allah will not look at you, or Allah will not speak to you, or you'll go to the hellfire, or you're going to be punished, or Allah's rahmah will not descend upon you, or you won't smell the fragrance of paradise. Whenever we have hadith that are saying things like this, then know it's from the major sin. So let us beware, sister. The Prophet ﷺ said in that authentic hadith, he said, لو كنت آمرا أحدا أن يسجد لغير الله لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها والذي نفس محمد بيده لا تؤدي المرأة حق زوجها حتى تؤدي حق زوجها كله حتى لو سألها نفسها وهي على قطب لم تمنع. Prophet ﷺ said, if I was to order someone to make sajda to someone else, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily I would have ordered the woman to make sajda to her husband. He said, I swear by he whose soul Muhammad is in his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily the woman does not give Allah his rights until she has given her husband all of his rights. SubhanAllah. He said, verily the woman does not give Allah his rights until she has given her husband all of his rights. Prophet ﷺ went on to say, so if he asks her or beckons her or calls her to come and have sex with him, and she's on qutubin al-qutub, this is the thing that the woman used to sit on to have childbirth, to give pregnancy. When they wanted to have childbirth, they would sit on this thing, this special type of thing. He said, even if he calls on that, she should not prevent herself from it. And in another narration of the hadith, he said, and even if she's over the stove breaking bread, she should come to him. Why has al-Islam took the time out to address this issue? Because you, sister, when you prevent your husband from coming to you, you'll be the cause of fasad, evil spreading in the earth. Now he has to go elsewhere, places that's not halal for him to look. He has to go to another man's wife. He has to go to a single woman. And then they become pregnant. And they deliver babies who are illegitimate in Al-Islam, who become burdens on the community. Diseases begin to spread.